my first question is, Amy's probably the best, one of the best movies about, documentaries about a self-destructive artist. But we all know that the one narrative that seems to work when you're talking about adaptations, drama, or docs, is that there's one narrative, almost one narrative, self-destruction.
Right.
That's it. There's nothing else. They are gifted, they are, they've got it, their life is resplendent with great possibility, and they fuck themselves up.
See, well, I disagree though. I don't think that's what this story is. I don't think it's about her fucking herself up. I mean, it's about how she's set up.
Pardon? It's obviously about that.
I don't, well, no, I think that, well, number one, I wasn't around in the 60s and the 70s. I never met any of these other people. So for me, a lot of these other musicians, they're like, they're from another planet.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. For me, the reason why I was interested in doing this is because she was like the girl that lived 1 mile away from where I grew up, where I lived. So she was a North London girl. I'm a North London. I lived around Camden. I lived in Kentish Town. I lived in Primrose Hill. I worked there. She was originally from another part further north, which is very close to where I live now. And so she's and this happened now. This happened like yesterday. You know, when I started making the film, it'd been less than a year after she died. So the reason why I wanted to do the film was because I don't know where Jimi Hendrix is from. I don't know where these other people are from, but I know where she's from. I know her background. I know where she lived. I know London. I know North London. And I kind of knew that scene. And I was just like, how can this happen now, though? How can this happen now? Maybe then, you know, the world was different. But now, how does this happen in front of our eyes? We all knew where she was going. I don't think we can just blame her and say she's self-destructive. What about our part in it? What about society? What about the media? What about the paparazzi? What about, who are the people clicking on those websites? Who are buying those newspapers that take people down and enjoy their downfall? How do we play a part in this? That's what it is. That all happened, and it happened far away and a long time ago.
You're saying that dying from drugs is a generational thing for the 60s.
No, I'm saying somebody who seems to have some sort of mental illness, being humiliated publicly by comedians on talk shows, on newspapers.
She earned it, didn't she?
Why? Why'd you earn that?
Because she was a walking wreck. Everybody knew that. She was the advertiser.
She's actually a really funny, intelligent person. She's
a human being. I'm not talking about your personality.
No, that's all I care about. I don't care about the public persona. I don't like someone being summed up as a train wreck. I don't like the fact that someone can be kind of like, it's fine. Why? Because it's her fault. Therefore, we can all jump on a bandwagon and dismiss her and make fun of her or humiliate her.
I'm inclined to dismiss somebody who can't control themselves.
Yeah, well, then you need to think about where they come from. You need to think about their setup. It's like, if the foundation is not strong,
that's what touched,
right? If the foundation's not strong, she's been screwed by other people, and it's gonna go a certain way. But you know what? She still could have had protection. She should have people looking after her. She maybe should have someone in the industry. If it keeps happening again and again in the music business, why does no one look out for it when it's happening? Why do they just keep cashing the checks? Why is it all her fault? Why is it all her fault then? You know, somebody else has got to play a part. There's people around here that should have seen it coming. There's people around here that could have stopped. People around here tried to stop it. You know, so she made some decisions. I'm not taking it away from her. She made some bad calls. But a lot of other people did too. And I think, being a Londoner who was there at the time, that we also are complicit. We saw it happening. We laughed at her. And what happens now in the period of Amy's kind of life is that when she did a bad performance, it was straight on YouTube, it's straight on Facebook, it's straight on Twitter, and everyone's commenting, because the people commenting are perfect, aren't they? We're all perfect.
You have footage of her giving a bad performance at a particular concert,
in Serbia,
very clearly.
Yeah.
One assumes
which everyone
she's
saw,
wasted,
which
right?
everyone's seen, right? How did we see it? Because we all saw it on social media.
Right.
We weren't there, we saw it, right? And people commented on it, and what they thought they saw was a girl on drugs who's messing around. But actually, when we spoke to people, what you saw was someone who was literally trying to destroy their career so it would stop. He's actually trying to take control of the situation by not singing. A young person who loved to sing, who loved to perform, and the only way to make it stop, because no one else seems to be stopping it, is to literally humiliate yourself publicly and not stand on stage in front of 20,000 people and not sing. That is her attempt at taking control of it.
Make what stop, though?
The bloody performing of this album that's 5 years old. Do you know what a typical kind of performance for a record is? An album. It's 18 months. Why is she singing the same songs 5 years after the record came out?
But you can, as you know, if you can talk to any artist who's past the age of, who's past their prime, all they do is sing their old stuff for the rest of their life.
Like I said, I didn't do any research about all these other artists, so I can't speak about them. I don't want to lump them all in together. I'm talking about her because that's the only one I know about, and I've done my homework and my research. And this idea of what happened in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, it's not all the same. I think that's wrong to assume we lump them all into one group. We speak of them as a whole. They're all different, they're all human. She's a young kid who basically had this talent, who had a gift, who was funny, clever, intelligent.
Yeah.
That side of her never got talked about, right? She was happy,
well,
she
was
healthy.
When she began, when she
broke. No, not here. Nobody knew her because the first album didn't even come out. The only person that came out here that you know about in the US is Back to Black, and by then she didn't speak. She never gave an interview. Therefore, it's all fair game. And everyone sums her up with as a train wreck or messed up or it's all your fault. And I'm basically coming here to say, I don't agree. I think we all should be responsible. We shouldn't just say, it's all her fault, therefore, you know what? We could just kind of humiliate her or make fun of her or talk dismissively. I think you had an ordinary kid who's thrust into the limelight, who becomes famous out, something that they like to do. And she would have been quite happy, I think, performing to 50 people. What seemed to be apparent, she didn't want the money, the fame, the awards, all the Grammys. She wasn't interested in that. That's not why she was doing it. She did it because she liked creating, she liked to write, she liked to sing. She was good at it, you know? And it should be fine to just be able to perform to 100 people. And it doesn't have to be about numbers and how many millions you sell and how many records and how many Grammys you get, things like that.
I was intensely curious about what her income was, how rich she was. How well was she doing?
I don't know. I think she made a lot of money.
You don't say in the film.
I'm not interested. She wasn't interested in the money. She didn't do it for money.
It's probably a motivating factor as far as her pathetic father.
Well, I think for other people it is, of course. But I'm not.
I mean, was she barely scraping by? Did she have any savings?
No, that record gets played non-stop. The one thing that you definitely know is the music business pays really well. Much better than filmmaking, I tell you that. You can make it. The amount of money young people can make with a hit record.
Right.
And it just keeps coming because PRS, because of any public playing on a radio, in a hotel, in the elevator.
Right.
It's real money,
right.
You know. And it's not like that in movies. So, no, she made a huge amount of money, and the records continue to make money. She wasn't interested in cash.
Not to sound like an idiot, but the general take on the record industry and the wake of Napster and the whole collapse of vinyl and everything was that it didn't pay as well as it used to. And that finding a model.
So the model, well, record sales, album sales still,
yeah.
I don't know, I'm not in the music business.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not interested in it, honestly.
Right.
It was about her as a person. And what I found from people is that she would just give everything she had away. She didn't care for stuff. She genuinely wasn't interested in material stuff. Her management, the first guy, Nick, who I met, said, now you meet these young rappers and they want to be CEOs. They want their own jet, they want a skyscraper, they want to have their clothing line, their champagne line, their perfume. She couldn't give a shit about any of that. She just wanted to make music and she wanted the first record to be different to the second record, to the third record. She wanted to experiment and try stuff out.
She didn't just want to make music, she wanted to get high on it.
No, she didn't.
That was part of her thing, obviously.
No, her thing was that she basically didn't have any boundaries when she was young.
Right.
Right? Nobody said no to her.
Right.
When nobody says no to you, what you do is, well, what if I do this? You say no. What if I do this? Like a baby does. A baby will test boundaries. What if I push this glass off the table now? If I spill that on your crotch, what are you going to do? That's what she was doing. And it's like a child doing stuff to get attention.
Yeah.
To get attention and maybe that was lacking.
Right.
That's what she's doing. It's not doing it just to kind of, and then it's medicating, self-medicating to not feel. She was sensitive to stuff, sensitive to what people were saying or what she was thinking, and her brain was working overtime. She didn't want to feel that, so you take stuff to shut down. You know, that's what she was doing. It was because there was another reason, there's another thing, it's hiding behind something, but it's to escape the pain of something else or depression. you know, she suffered from depression, she had bulimia, she had all this stuff before she was famous. But what happens with money and fame is a certain things that it brings and a pressure that it brings of performing, of touring, of being on shows, of the entourage that are excited by it, who don't have the talent, who haven't written a song, who haven't come up with the music, who are not the people who have to go out and perform, and they're putting pressure on her, then she kind of shuts herself down. It's I don't want it to feel like, and if you read the film like that, then the film's not succeeding.
I'm coming from a place of a sober person who's had his histories. I know the hell of...
Yeah.
I've done everything.
Sure.
Including smack.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And I feel really
Why?
Good now.
Why?
Why?
Why did you need to do it?
It felt like a cooler thing to do than pot at the time.
It was cool.
It's cooler.
Right.
You know, it was more Louis Armstrong, more jazz.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but you obviously were strong enough to do it and stop.
Huh?
You were strong enough to do something and stop. What she had is she didn't have that. She did everything to excess. She brought flowers when she had an apartment. The house would be full of flowers. If she bought shoes, she bought 50 pairs of shoes. She went out to buy one CD, she came home with 200. There's an addictive personality there. There's a personality there which is to do with low self-esteem. It's to do with not feeling good about yourself, not feeling like you love yourself, not feeling like you were loved. So all of this is just a cover for something that's not quite right. So it may well have been crack, it may have been heroin, maybe alcohol, maybe vomiting up her food, whatever it might be. It started off with really mundane things, but she was like that from a very young age. But she wasn't built in such a way where she could try it and stop. She'd do it and do it to the max. And try and keep up with all the guys. Look at the size of you, you're a big guy. She's a tiny, petite young woman trying to keep up with men who were doing a stupid amount of stuff, but they've been doing it for a long time. She came from nowhere and would do things to max.
It was spelled out for her in basic, simple language that she's going to wind up killing herself.
And I think there were lots of moments when people felt she made it clear she was ready for help. There were lots of points when people thought, and the whole point of that song, Rehab, and that moment in the story, that was one of those moments where she said, I think I've got a problem. And that's the point that everyone, it's because she's before she's famous. It's before that people know who she is and the paparazzi have, before anyone in America had heard of her. And that was the opportunity that her friends, Juliet, Lauren, and Nick, for that was it. That was the moment. And instead, people reneged on the plan, which was, go and see Calvin. Said, no, you're fine, she's fine. Just got broken heart. And that, there were quite a few moments like that. Now, it wasn't just one, it happened again and again and again. Now, you keep missing your opportunities when there's a little window, a little moment of clarity, then it's going to keep going down a certain path.
You know, I was very convinced, as most other people were, that this film was going to register very strongly this year when it played in Cannes, the reaction at Cannes. Can you tell me how early in the process you found out about being accepted at Cannes and being in the... section were you in?
It was that official selection.
Just plain
in
the main, which is a very high honor.
No, it was the only doc in official section. I don't know the last documentary that had been. Maybe Fahrenheit 911.
Yeah.
I don't know how many since then have been in Cannes. So very few documentaries have been there. No, it was great. It was funny because when we were making the film originally, you know, my producer was saying, you know, should we go to Sundance? Should we do this? Should we do that? And I just thought, Amy's big, and this film is potentially powerful. We knew quite early on we had to make quite a powerful story, and because it's about the way we live now, because it's about a musician from now, not from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. And she's European, she's a Londoner, she performed in France. Everyone knows her music, loves her.
Right.
But honestly, no one knew who she really was. They thought they knew, but they didn't really know her. So I was hopeful that we could get in, and so we were in competition. It was amazing. It was an incredibly emotional screening, actually.
I'm sure that what you're telling me, you put into the film, and what you felt hope that I would get from it. You decided not to be judgmental, basically. I think that was probably a factor in people finding something else, because it's not a typically lecturing her own, you know.
Yeah, no, also the way I make these films, I did a film previously called Senna. I don't know if you've ever seen Senna, but
I saw Senna, that was
so
pretty good.
It's entirely made up, made out of archives. So yeah, it's like the idea is you watch it and you make your own decision. It's not, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not a judgmental person, I hope. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? I'll show you what was going on to my best ability, the essence of what's going on, because that's all you can do when you're squeezing a life into 2 hours. And then it's like, you make your own decision. And there were lots of people that made lots of bad decisions again and again and again. Now, all I can do is show some of them, but show certain key ones, including her own. Like I said, she's not totally innocent. She's a complicated girl. But then you walk out and hopefully people get an idea of, yeah, there were loads of moments and loads of people, all of whom play their part in what happened, the way it developed.
Have you personally ever been in as adventurous as I am?
Not really. No. My adventure comes in the films that I make. That's my buzz. I travel the world. I go to unusual places and go up to the Himalayas and I go to deserts. And I, for me, that's my buzz. Is from very young, I like traveling.
Right.
I like seeing the world and meet people and going off on my own and not being able to speak the language. And that's the thing for me that answers everything. And then I go back to London where I live. And
what part of London do you live?
I'm from North London. I'm from Hackney originally, and I live in North London still. So.
The Northern Line. Is that how you can?
Yeah.
That's and also Hampstead Heath, right?
Yeah, quite close to where I live now. Yeah, I take the Northern Line into work every day.
And the same Northern Line goes down to Clapham Common, I think, right?
On the other end.
South of the river.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which my son happened to be, right?
There you go, right. Yeah.
So you're going to be caught in the music documentary thing, or are you going to try and bust out of that?
No, well, like you say, you've seen Senna. I did sport one.
Yeah, I know.
I just did a music one. I want to do something completely different. But I did drama as well, so I switch between fiction and documentary. So I the next film will be totally different to Amy.
No music at all, no.
No, there'll be music, no. But there'll be music because there'll be a score. There'll be a sound. Yeah.
Oh, great, okay.
Yeah, so it's absolutely different, but there's a soundtrack, yeah. So.
Is it going to be set in England?
Or? No, it's set. This one, yeah. I went somewhere crazy. I spent a large chunk of this year in the Caucasus region. Do you know where that is?
The what?
The Caucasus region, which is where the word Caucasian comes from.
Okay.
Which is where Europe and Asia meet, where Russia and Iran, Persia meet.
Oh, yes.
Around there.
Yes.
So I was shooting a film out there, so I'm in post-production on that right now. So, something. I like to change up the style.
You're in pre-production?
I'm in post.
Post?
Yeah, I've shot it. I'm finishing it off now. So.
So
it'll come out next year.
It'll come out next year or something?
Yeah, yeah.
So conceivably, Toronto, that period?
Probably earlier.
Earlier?
Sooner than that, yeah, because I think my producers are quite impatient. They want to get it out. So.
Okay.
So we'll see, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen it twice. I really think it's a strong film. But
did you ever meet her? You never met her.
You never I would have loved to have met her.
Yeah,
because of her crackling personality.
That's the thing that I didn't realize she was funny. I didn't realize she had that sharpness and intelligence and that wit. And that's what makes it all the more sad when you see what happened to her later. She was clever. She was really talented. She was really good. But she was ordinary. She's not superhuman. And she had kind of all the kind of classic insecurities that kids have.
Do you think that in the wake of a tragedy like this, that the culpable parties, which there's no question that her ex, I'm sorry, his name just flew out,
Blake,
and her father are the culpable parties here?
That she's looking for some strong father figures. She was looking for some strong men around her, I think. You know, the clues are in all the song titles. Stronger Than Me is right there. One of her first records is called Stronger Than Me. She wants someone who's stronger than her.
Right.
She wants someone who's going to protect her and tell her what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she was searching for. And in a way, in the film, the person she meets at right at the ending is Tony Bennett, seems to be like the strong person who tells her, you're great, you're amazing, you're brilliant, you're talented. And you can see the reaction he gets when he says that to her, how she feels. That's kind of what she was lacking.
Now, as I recall, the father took exception, so he felt that you were being too judgmental towards him, correct? Wasn't that
seemed
more or less what he
seemed
said?
Like it, yeah. I mean, of all the people that I interviewed and spoke to, And it was a lot. I spoke to over 100 people and took a long time on this film. The only person who's come out against it was him. And even him, when you look at in detail at what he's saying, it's literally like he feels like a certain number of words are missing from a sentence.
That he said?
That he said. But the majority of the film is made out of archive. He doesn't query it. He doesn't question it. You can't. You know, this is all on... That was on TV. That show was on British television. There were many others. You know, so I... You know, the film... We did our research and our homework, and it's the essence of what happened. You can't show everything, but it's... You know, we stand by it, and people, no one else has come out and said it's not true. In fact, what most people have said is, even if they don't look good, including Blake and people like that, they all say you managed to capture the real Amy. That's who she was. That's who she used to be like, which most people never met or saw or heard. And so they're happy, even if they don't look good, they're happy that she looks good. The thing about Avaris, he never mentions her.
Now I'm not remembering precisely. Did you, in fact, have a chance to meet her ever?
No.
Never?
No.
Not even before the thing? No.
Never saw her live, never met her, no. No. She was around town, but we never crossed paths. I'm a bit older, so when she was performing in certain places that I used to go to a lot, like the Jazz Cafe in Camden, I wasn't going there anymore. I was away working, making movies, so...
And yet, for the rest of your time on this planet and mine, your name and hers are going to be...
That's the weird thing. It's the weird thing about these sorts of films. Like, I never met Senna, you know, but you kind of spend so much time living and meeting everyone around these people and doing so much work that you almost... I almost feel like I met them, but I didn't. She's like a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Senna's from another planet. That's a whole different thing. I just feel, like, lucky to have been in his... universe, because he's so amazing and incredible, and Amy is really special too, and there's a kind of a pride of putting her back on a pedestal almost, because she had such a terrible rep, because the way people talked about her was such a dismissive fashion, whereas actually, and you know, her friend Nikki, her first manager, said that what you've managed to do with the film is basically now she's talked about as an artist, as a brilliant artist, whereas before she was tabloid, so that's something at the bottom of your shoe. You know, and I think that's what she's back to where she belongs, which is she could sing, she could write, she could play the guitar. She had this real great personality. She deserved a better opportunity than she got.
For what it's worth, I didn't feel completely judgmental. I did feel great sadness for her when she got into that maelstrom of tabloid hurricane.
In the film, or when it was happening at the same time?
Yeah.
In For Real, when it was happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, here, very few people here did, because very few people had... And if you don't know where that person's come from, you think that they're enjoying it. You think that they're not. It's not fun. You know, she should have been having the time of her life. She was lucky enough. She performed with the Rolling Stones. Prince loved her music. She performed with Prince. Tony Bennett thought she was great, you know. And then you got on the hip-hop side, Questlove, Mos Def. You name it, everyone, Jay-Z, everyone wanted to sign her. Everyone said she was brilliant. And instead of being out there enjoying her life and being out there performing with them, who wants to be in a hotel room doing crap? Who wants to be there? Nobody. She doesn't want to be there. She'd rather be there. But it's like the situation she got into, it was like, it wasn't fun. It's not fun. I didn't want to glamorize it. The film doesn't glamorize that lifestyle. It's not cool. It's not hip. It's not rock and roll. It's boring.
Yeah.
It's lonely. It's sad. You know, at that age, you should be traveling the world and living your life. That's what I would do.
I share your lust for travel myself. So I know.